Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to The Sportive. I'm John Martheller. It's a beautiful Friday night, a beautiful spring Friday night in Minnesota. The weather's beautiful. The sun is out. And what better place for Stu and I to be but in front of our microphones talking to you? Not even for COVID-related reasons. It's just this is what we're doing. We're required to do one podcast a month, and we got to get one in. So, Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Should probably let everyone know that the other two dads on the podcast are both at baseball games tonight. Both of their kids' baseball games. So, this week has been kind of we've been trying to get one done all week, and this is like the most people we could get on and it's on a Friday night. So.
Yeah, so often we hear from people who want to know why The Sportive is the monthly delivery. And the reason is because all of us are doing something with our children at all times. So
Yeah. I mean, I'm the one who's most available, and even I have a hard time sometimes just because, you know, I have a job and responsibilities. But for the other three, it's anyone who has more than one kid understands. You would hope, at least.
We've long talked about how we're the podcast with the most dad energy of all of the podcasts in Minnesota, and that we're starting out this podcast complaining about our damn hell kids is pretty much par for the course.
And it's also worth noting that the four of us would not be here without Michael Rand, who does a podcast every day despite having 17 kids.
I know. And somehow it's out at like 7 a.m. every day. I don't know how it's possible.
He's more machine than man at this point, I think.
Really? Yeah, he's just machine and hair gel.
Yep. Oh, God. So, John.
This is also a great excuse not to talk about the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, it's been like, 2.5 weeks since the last program?
Oh, my gosh.
And it was not quite as dire 2.5 weeks ago, and now it is hair on fire. Chernobyl is melting down. Don't look into the radiation fire, you will die, type of dire.
We've seen dire as Minnesota Twins fans. It's the direness is not new. The unexpectedness of the direness and the particular way in which it has been delivered was the surprising part.
Yeah. I mean, where do you even start? I mean, I suppose the bullpen is where you start.
The bullpen is, that's where you kind of have to start. The bullpen, it's amazing that over the past couple of years, they put together bullpens out of smoke and mirrors that were pretty good bullpens. Mm-hmm.
They got, like, Matt Whistler to post. He posted, like, a 1.07 ERA.
At no point over the last 2 years has anyone but Aaron Gleeman been able to name more than three Twins relievers at any given time. And yet they've had pretty good bullpens. And so I think I was like a lot of Twins fans in that when they put together another bullpen full of cast-offs and no-names and young guys who were learning a slider or whatever, I sort of thought, well, it'll probably be fine. They have a pretty good track record in this area. And oh my goodness, Stu, has everything gone wrong at once?
And it isn't like if they had just kept the guys from last year, they would have been fine. Because Sergio Romo, I believe, has an ERA of infinity
right
now. Whistler Tyler Clippard is is there. Tyler Clippard hasn't pitched yet this year. I mean, it's all they did the right thing by bringing in new arms. Just none of them work, and the ones that they kept aren't working. Tyler Duffy isn't good anymore. Taylor Rogers is okay, but not great. Hansel and Gretel isn't the answer. Colum A is historically like Hall of Fame bad. I mean, it's
every so often. Stu is a Twins old timer. Stu has heard Disco Dan Ford swear and sat in the bleachers at Metropolitan Stadium. So Stu goes way back. And every so often when we're out doing podcasts, not during COVID, of course, but before that, we would be out and about doing podcasts, and people would come up to us in the middle of the podcast or at the end. They would be young children, 13, 14, chewing on some hay, and they would say, "Hey, mister, you look like a Twins old-timer. Tell us about Ron Davis." And Stu would lean back in his chair, and a faraway gaze would come over his face, and he would tell the children about Ron Davis. But here's the thing, Stu. For those children, they no longer have to wait for old-timers to sit them on their knee and tell them stories of Ron Davis. They can experience it for themselves in the person of Alex Coleman.
Yeah, this is what that was. It is literally he comes in and ruins dreams.
He's the Reaper.
He is. He's just it literally cannot. And I mean, this is the thing is, Ron Davis kind of was shitty with the Yankees before coming. Mm-hmm. He was okay, and then he just became a punchline. Whereas Colum A was legitimately good. I mean, this is completely unexpected. It is inexplicable that I mean they are that bad. O and eight in extra inning games. And they all go to extra innings because they blow the lead in the ninth inning. And it just, it's astonishing.
I'm pretty sure I have this right. There is a game in which Colum A blew two different saves.
Sure did.
He managed to get two blown saves in one game. That's hard to do.
I believe that was the 13-12 game, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. They all sort of blend together. It's amazing that in most seasons, so I saw this stat today. I'm sure it was from Aaron Gleeman, our good friend. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Mike Rand mentioned this too, so I'm just name-checking people now. But they've lost four games in which they had a better than 94% chance, historically speaking, to win it. And two of them, they were above 98%.
Good God.
And one of those in a season is like memorable and a thing you remember for years. Like, do you remember, Stu, in 2001, there was a game in Yankee Stadium where Jason Giambi hit a grand slam in the 15th inning off Mike Trombley or something like that?
I was at my friend's wedding in Duluth, and I watched that game in a bar after the wedding dance was over, and we could not believe that. And then we went to a place that served donuts and tacos up on the hill.
Right.
I remember that very clearly, eating and just soaking up my sadness with the tacos and donuts at 1 a.m.
So that was 20 years ago, and we still remember this game. There was another one with a very similar game against the Yankees where Aaron Hicks did the same thing. Again, that was like 6 years ago. We remember that. Mm-hmm. There have been two of those already this year, and two more approaching that level already this year, and they've played 30 games.
Yes.
There is
30 games. And again, in a vacuum, if it was just the bullpen, it's like, okay, you deal with that. You've got a ton of, like, you know, they took a ton of flyers on veteran arms that are in St. Paul. Your Ian Hamiltons and a couple other guys whose names you've heard on SportsCenter, basically.
The St. Paul roster somehow has 43 relief pitchers on it. I don't know how it's possible.
And if it was just that, first of all, they wouldn't be 11-19. They would be like, you know, so they'd still probably be under 500, but it wouldn't be that bad. However, in addition to all of that, I mean, the injuries have been devastating.
Unending.
Today alone, the sweetest young man we've ever had the privilege to talk about on this podcast, the American League Player of the Month for April, is going to be out, per Rocco Baldelli, weeks.
prohibitive favorite for the MVP, Byron Buxton.
Yes, yeah. And again, Byron Buxton, he has an injury history. So that part, you know, it sucks. But when you add that to a very promising start from the guy who isn't from the Wild but has the Wild's last name of Alex Kirilloff.
Yeah, Kirill Kirilloff.
A wrist injury that no one knows how bad it is or when he's going to be back.
Honestly, that one, I felt like we could all see it coming. He came up, he hit 40 screaming line drives that were somehow caught in the first three games. And
then he just realized he just had to hit home runs to get rid of that problem, which he did. And then he hurt his wrist sliding into second base on his 17th double in two games. So that's just terrific, just great. And
of course.
Josh Donaldson, obviously first play of the year, tweaked his calf, although he has been better of late. He's like the last healthy player everyone who we like and know.
He's the only decent hitter left, and they basically have had to tell him, don't run anywhere. Just walk around the bases if you have to, because every time you run, you hurt yourself.
Which leads into the third problem, which is that everyone else is playing awful right now. Kenta Maeda, Cy Young runner-up, had a decent game last time out. I think he won Monday's game, right? I think that's the last one.
Game in the sense that somehow the Rangers ran out of outs before they managed to score enough runs for the bullpen to blow it.
Yes. But before that had been just really struggling, and we have no idea if that's going to get better or not.
Right.
If that was a fluke, or we'll find out tomorrow against a horrible Detroit Tigers team. Jorge Polanco, terrible.
Terrible. Truly terrible.
Until very recently, Mitch Garver, terrible. Max Kepler, hurt and terrible.
Hurt and terrible, yep.
And Simmons.
The Twins combo right there, hurt and terrible. Simmons, okay, but got COVID.
Okay, but got COVID and gave everyone else COVID, even though no one will say that he did.
Right.
And then Miguel Sano. What do you even do with that?
I don't even know what to say about Miguel Sano anymore. I so want him to do well. I'm cheering so hard for him that I'm very blind to his many, many flaws. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anytime he hits a line drive ground ball, I'm like, see, he still got it. Look at that.
Yeah.
You can't find anybody to do that.
Yep. And our mutual friends, Michael Rand and I guess Patrick Roycey, were cackling about Miguel on one of Rand's podcasts because he's 28 years old.
Oh.
At this point, Miguel Sano is what he is. I don't think anything. He's not going to do the David Ortiz thing where he goes away from the Twins and becomes a wrecking ball. He's just what he is right now.
He's been a budding star for so long, you forget that he should be in his prime right now.
Yeah, and he's not. He's had stretches, but it's just, I think it's become readily apparent he just is that. And right now, he's a streaky player, and he's in a very, very long dry spell. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's clearly carrying a little extra weight, which hasn't mattered in the past, but when you get a little older, it starts to.
Yeah.
When
you're 22, not such a big deal.
Well,
when you're 28, hips start hurting a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, we both watched Shaquille O'Neal at LSU in his first couple of years in the NBA just be a holy terror.
Right.
And then he got older and he just, you know, stood 3 feet from the basket because he was 350 pounds.
You know what's strange to me? Somehow Pablo Sandoval seems to be immune to this. I don't know how it's possible. But he still seems like he moves around pretty well, even though he's 49 years old at this point.
Yeah, it's just, man, John, it's just so, and again.
It's just so bad.
It's just so bad. And they had, I mean, that's, again, I have seen bad Twins teams.
Right.
You have seen bad Twins teams.
Right.
This is a talented team. Or at least we thought it was talented, because they got those, everyone praised the team-friendly contracts they got Kepler and Polanco under.
Mm-hmm.
And now those are two of your cornerstone players who have not played well in a year and a half. You can maybe write off last year because it was weird. That's fine. But they were both just slumping, and now they're still slumping. And
the amazing thing is, a lot of these, there's other options. One of the things that everybody was pretty excited about coming into this year was that the Twins had some depth. They had Louis Arraez, who didn't have an obvious position, but the good thing about Arraez was...
Oh, yeah, he's also hurt, by the way.
Yeah.
He's also Arraez hurt. And he was playing awesome, and he's hurt.
Yeah. But the idea was, well, you could plug him in at second base, you could plug him in at left field, you can do whatever you want to. He's hurt. Sano is struggling, but everybody's raving about Alex Kirilloff's defense at first base. You know, he's... Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a corner outfielder who's not a great corner outfielder, but he's a really good first baseman, and Kirilloff is hurt.
Yeah.
So at some point, it's just like, well, if there's anybody who's going to be good for any length of time, they'll be hurt. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody who's not hurt, they're going to struggle. And the other thing is, it's not – they've had bad luck, but for the most part, it hasn't been like they've been cursed or anything. It's mm-hmm. just been like everything goes wrong all the time because they are bad players right now.
And it opens the bullpen, of course, opens the door for people to legitimately criticize Rocco Baldelli for pulling his starters early.
Right.
And you can say keep the pitch counts down earlier in the year. You don't want someone throwing 130 pitches just to get a no-hitter. But, boy, I mean, like when Michael Pineda gets pulled after six innings and 87 pitches, and right. then the bullpen comes in and does what the Minnesota's bullpen has been doing all year, that, I mean, I like Baldelli a lot. I really do. But, man, it's hard to defend that. And
it's it's amazing because pretty much every decision that Baldelli has made has come back to bite him, it seems
yes.
Like that yeah. game in Oakland where he made two Galaxy Brain replacements and put in Travis Blankenhorn at second and yep. Louis Arraez at third. And yep. normally you look at it and go, well, that's not perfect, but everything works out fine. And then mm-hmm. the next inning, both of them threw away game-ending grounders and they lost. Just how does that happen?
Have we done a show since that game? I don't think we have because I still think I want to talk about Arraez's throw
yeah.
to end the game. I am not – I mean – that was Vikings quarterback Kirk. that was so just. I was like, where's the ball?
Right.
I could not see where he missed because it was so far away from first base.
The best part was usually you watch a game watch a throw like that, and the first baseman makes some effort. And I think Estadio was at first base, which is yeah. Something else entirely because he's yes. 5'6". But he didn't even move. The ball sailed so far above yeah, him, he would have had to. If he had had a butterfly net, he couldn't have got it.
There's no chance. It sucks, man. But I mean, I guess the positive. Okay, I'm going to try to look at the positives here.
You might need to take a drink before you do this because you're going to need some. Okay. You're going to need some liquid courage to get through this part.
I think the positives are that the governor has announced increased capacity at Target Field. People were worried that they would not be able to get to see Twins baseball this year because of either pandemic or the fact that the available tickets were going to go so fast,
right?
Because of how good this team was. And I've got news for people who want to see live baseball in Minneapolis this summer. Mm-hmm. You have got your chance, baby. Good seats are available. Just go to StubHub on like 2 hours beforehand. I think our friend, we're going to keep name dropping. Our friend Dana Wessel said, if you have money for a Chipotle burrito, you can go see a Twins game.
You know, I saw that tweet. How expensive are Chipotle burritos now?
Well, I mean, if you get them, if you guac is extra, John.
The guac is extra.
That's, I think, so that's going to make it like a $9,
that's how they get
it. Or if you get a bag of chips with it, that also increases. I usually get a bag. I usually go with my current thing with Chipotle. God, I haven't had Chipotle in forever. But I get it in bowl form, but then I also get a bag of chips, and I eat the bowl with the chips almost like it's like a dip of some sort. And that way, since I'm not eating the flour tortilla, that means I'm in the health zone, John.
Yeah, I often think that if I can just replace this flour tortilla with a giant bag of chips.
Greasy corn chips, just add to the salt level in my body.
Well,
it works for the ocean, John.
This is getting This is getting dangerously close to the upside down nachos discussion that we had that one time.
This is very true. This is very true. Rest in peace, legends. Okay, so do we want to? I think we have. Okay, and if you're watching, listening live right now, the Twins are actually ahead. They're ahead 2-0. It looks like they're in the fifth inning, and we're relying on Matt Shoemaker to be the slump buster. So
here we go, Shoe.
To quote a K-Fan personality, the insider of I just bombed out of quoting from Dan Cole's opening. I apologize.
Oh, no.
The end result of such a lopsided event as that is too obvious to require elaboration. There, that's what I was trying to get at.
Oh, man. So. I have a question for you. Given that you were in St. Paul right now, how excited are you to go to a Saints game this year?
More
excited than a Twins game? I'm very excited.
Well, yeah. I mean, I went to their scrimmage last Saturday. That was fun. It was $5. Could walk in, just hang out, watch them take batting practice, and then play a simulated game. Caught a couple foul balls, gave one to a kid. It was awesome.
Oh, love that.
That was great. Then on Wednesday, my friend Bill is a season ticket holder, and they had the season opener on from Omaha on the big screen. So,
oh, nice.
And that was really fun. Yeah, they had like a couple of concession stands open, and they had like let kids play catch on the field. They had the naming of the pig. It was just a fun little St. Paul time and free beer. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. I got to tell you, I love minor league baseball. I love going to minor league baseball games. I've always, the last few years, I've been a little bit annoyed with the Saints just because the independent league baseball, and like I say, I love minor league baseball, but independent league baseball is sort of a different. It's sort of a different thing, and it's a little bit like overgrown town team baseball. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I was going to compare it to. Like you're in Jordan, Minnesota, but for some reason Jose Canseco's there,
right? And when they were at Midway Stadium and tickets were $4 or whatever, it hardly mattered because that just it fit everything about being a Midway fit. Then they moved downtown, no fault of their own. They managed to get a great deal and a great stadium in downtown St. Paul. I love the stadium, but it felt a little bit like if I'm watching Meeseville play Jordan, I kind of want tickets to cost $3, not $30. But correct. Somehow, in my mind, now they're coming back to – they're going to be minor leagues, AAA. AAA baseball is kind of its own thing, but I still love minor league baseball. And now it's like, yeah, this is very worth it. And the way the Twins are going, I haven't seen that the Saints have announced a TV contract of any kind. If it's like the old times, they'll be on public access TV.
There was a lot of signage for Fox 9 Plus. I'm wondering if they're on one of Fox 9's digital channels, maybe.
All right, I would believe that.
A pure guess, but that sounds like, because I believe they were on 45 back in the good old days.
Right, Fox 9 Plus, that would be great. They're on broadcast television. Everybody has broadcast television, even if you have the world's worst streaming package, or even just internet through the cable company, you probably have Channel 45, and you can watch Saints, and that would be great. And it would especially be great because then you don't have to watch the Twins.
They got there's a few more places that are open in Lower Town,
right?
So if you're coming down here with a fam, you can get a bite to eat, cup of coffee, whatever you know you're looking for. So a few more. Yeah, for Chicken Finger 69's benefit, I believe the Gopher Bar is open again. So
nice.
So yeah, everything's sort of clicking down there, which is nice to see.
I guess what I'm saying is there's a pretty good chance by the end of this summer I will be more of a Saints fan than a Twins fan.
Yeah, their like Twins-esque jerseys are looking pretty cool too. They got some powder blues and it's nice. So. Yeah, I'm impressed with what I've seen there so far, despite not actually having seen a real game in person yet. So
right, the announcements about going back up to full capacity was a little bit like, well, I was just getting my mind around the idea of going to a partial capacity game. Now it's whoa! It's going to be some random drunk guy next to me smoking a cigarette or whatever.
Well, that'd be cool, but I mean. And of course, every one of our outstate listeners is going, there's capacity limits.
Right.
But for those of us big city folk, we have those here still. So Yep. So.
The Twins.
The Twins. So.
Luckily, we've got so many pro sports teams, Stu. Yes. How many of them are good? Let's talk about the good ones and just pick off on your fingers.
Okay, there's the Minnesota Wild, and so let's talk about the Minnesota Wild, Jen.
All right, I'm game.
I'm hearing good things about this Kirill Kaprizov guy.
Yeah, you know, he got his 26th goal the other night, and I think that more or less that's pretty close to translating to 40 in a normal season, which is
yeah.
I might have this stat wrong, but I'm fairly certain it's correct. In the Wild's history, they've had Marian Gaborik scored 40 goals a couple times. A couple years ago, Eric Staal had 42, and that's it. That's it for 40 goal scorers. Yeah, there were a couple of seasons early in the Jack Lemire era where the whole team didn't score 40 in a season.
Well, that would have been rude. I mean, that's not the system, John.
Right. So, that's not how we play hockey.
And I think the whole Kaprizov thing is like a guy who like you don't have to be a hockey fan or a real like puckhead to see and just say, oh God, that guy's amazing.
Right.
It just pops out. I mean, every highlight you see, just if you watch a snatch of a game, you can just tell the kid is just something different. He has just that extra athleticism, whatever you want to call it, it's there.
It's
so fun to watch.
It's like, how is that guy, A, faster than everyone else on the ice? Mm-hmm. Two, every defender bounces off him when they get anywhere near him. And C, somehow never moves his feet once on the ice.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, he's got to have legs like tree trunks. That's all I can figure. He's got to just be just...
The strongest ankles in America right now.
Yeah, it's so fun to watch. And the unfortunate part is, I think you can probably back me up on this, it still looks like they're not going to get home ice in the first round.
They're kind of in a struggle. They've got four games to go. I think Colorado has five games to go, and they're 2 points behind Colorado. So they're already the odds-on favorite to not make it. And the unfortunate thing, we've been talking since way back about how Colorado is going to run away with the division, and the Wild's goal would just be to stay ahead of whoever finished fourth, and therefore the fourth-place team would have to play Colorado and they could play Vegas. And instead, Vegas won 49 games in a row or something.
That's correct. And that's like what I was like, well, shit. I mean, they match up better against Vegas, but it sure as shit looks like if everything stays as is, they will be playing a road series against the Lanch. And the Lanch is a tough matchup.
Yes, they are.
And that would just suck because then you'll get people saying, typical Wild. They just get in the playoffs. That's good enough. And I mean, I think it's fair to say that anyone paying some attention, even me, can tell you that this team is different now.
Yeah, even
if the result this year ends up being disappointing in the playoffs, this team has clearly got something.
Right. It would be a real shame if everything had sort of been overhauled and there was a whole different feel around the team and then they again lost in the first round.
Yeah. It sucks because, I mean, although, John, have you heard the hot goalie theory?
I have heard the hot goalie theory.
What if Cam Talbot just goes off, just stands on his head?
Goes off. It could happen.
He could stand on his head, John.
It seems more likely to me that the goalie of whoever they play will not go off, if you see what I mean.
I know what you mean. So,
like, who's the Avs starting goalie now?
I'm just going to say Patrick Roy.
Varlamov?
Sure. You could be lying to me. I don't know. I just know the full bench. Yeah, how would I know?
It's Patrick Roy. I looked it up.
It is Patrick Roy. Of course it is. That fucker's 60 years old. I looked it up and it's Patrick Roy.
I miss the days when he was the coach.
Yeah, I think they're playing tonight too, aren't they?
Probably. I think that's probably true.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't have picture in picture on the party room TV here, so I can't.
What's on the party room TV? Did you get to decide the party room TV tonight?
Yes, I got Tigers Twins here, so they came out of the rain delay.
You, my friend, are a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, I know. But
every local team is in action tonight, but you went for the Twins.
I did go for the Twins. Well, I mean, it was on, and what are you going to do? So,
I just want to confirm that the Avalanche are playing tonight, and they're playing the Los Angeles Kings, which means they should win by no less than 7-0. So,
God damn it, Marcel Dion, be better.
do better. Do you want to talk about your Purds? Your Purds are probably going to make the playoffs.
I would actually like to talk about what the fuck happened with the Rangers this week.
Oh, my goodness.
That seems to, like, and then the whole fight, like, the whole slapshot thing that happened.
Yeah,
with Rangers and Capitals.
I understand very little about the Rangers front office situation. So, Tom Wilson, who's a terrible goon and should be banned from the league, got into it again with the whole Rangers team somehow. And so the next time they played, which was 2 days later or whatever, there was a whole line brawl to start the game, which you don't see very much anymore.
No, it literally looked like slapshot.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah,
let them know you're there.
Yeah. Olo Torp. I could not. And then
too soon.
Yeah, the NHL fines him like $5.
Right.
And the Rangers put out a statement basically calling out the NHL, the disciplinary system, Tom Wilson, the Vatican, just a really good bridge-burning.
The whole system's out of order.
The kind of thing you do not get on company letterhead from a professional sports organization since Al Davis passed away. And the upshot was the guys who wrote it got fired, and the organization got fined $250,000.
Well, they
always get the guy who punches back. Mm-hmm. They always do. That's how they get you.
Well, the amazing thing was it just the tone and the tenor and the wording of that statement gave me a strong sense that it should be written in Comic Sans by Dan Gilbert. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I just assumed when I saw that statement that James Dolan was down in the office, talking to an intern, like, "Hey, put this out there, get our logo on there, and put this out on social media.
The people need to know."
But then he came out and fired everybody else. So I don't quite understand. Like, did they not go along with it, or did they really put out this statement and somehow James Dolan was like, "Oh no. We can't sully the name of a New York sports franchise like this. Who among us would dare pull a classless move like this as the figurehead at the head of a New York sports franchise? That's ridiculous."
And, I mean, I assume, our seven listeners know this already, but in a substrata of weird billionaire dickheads that are professional sports owners, James Dolan is almost in a class by himself.
It's amazing how many truly rotten sports owners manage to distinguish themselves from a group that, by its nature, is a class of truly awful people.
I can say with confidence that Elon Musk is a better person than James Dolan. Right. And Elon Musk is a fucking weirdo, man.
Just a weirdo.
Because Elon Musk has never had his shitty blues dad rock band open for the Eagles because he owns Madison Square Garden. James Dolan did that. The name of the band is JD and the Straight Shot. I'm going to repeat that. The name of his band is JD and the Straight Shot. And he will book them to open for actual bands in Madison Square Garden. So
that's amazing to me.
Yeah. And just... Man, thank you for explaining it to me, because I mean, I saw that James Dolan was involved, and I was like, well, clearly something nefarious and truly stupid had to have occurred, and you confirmed that it, in fact, did.
Truly stupid. On all parts, there was not one party or person to that whole situation that came out looking good.
Ah, God, it's just perfect. Yeah,
there are no winners.
It's like when the Bears play the Lions.
It truly is.
The score is going to be 10-6, and you're going to hate yourself for watching it. So, Christ. So that's hockey. That was the good sport. And now we have three other sports that we have to discuss. Since I just brought up the Bears and the Lions, we should probably talk about the new most popular athlete in Minnesota, and that is Kellen Mond.
Right.
John, what can you tell me about Kellen Mond, John?
Well, here's what I know about Kellen Mond. I didn't eat the tape this time around, but I heard from a family member who is a Texas A&M grad and a Texas girl, and she said, prepare to be whelmed. He's neither overwhelming nor underwhelming. Just prepare to be whelmed.
It feels like they drafted Kirk Cousins.
It really is.
And the Garden. Wasn't Kirk a third round pick, I believe?
They already had the most properly whelming quarterback.
Yes. The most league average quarterback on planet Earth. And again, I saw I want to say it's friend of the show, even though I've never met or talked with him, Arif Hassan, saying it was actually not given the trade that Trader Rick made, they basically were able to get the left side of their offensive line and a lottery ticket at quarterback, which is basically what Kellen Mond is. And if you look at it that way, it's fine. But this team had a lot of needs, and I have to think maybe a third round you could have gotten Zimmer some fucking cornerback out of, let's say, Drake, and he could have done something with him. But
it's kind of funny that the Vikings drafted 49 cornerbacks over the last few years. Every year they picked a cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow everything went wrong to the point that they desperately needed a cornerback this year. And that's the one year they haven't drafted them. They've needed offensive linemen for 100 years now. Since Randall McDaniel retired, they've been in desperate need of any offensive line help. And they haven't gotten it because they've been drafting cornerbacks. And finally, it was they're really struggling at cornerback. They need help at cornerback, and they got nothing. They got a kick returner.
Mm-hmm.
They got – I'm just scrolling down here now.
Yeah, they got the kick returner out of
Iowa.
Got
a tight end.
Right? Yeah, like a freakishly athletic tight end, but who has no skills whatsoever.
According to ESPN, he was recruited as a punter. That's not what you want out of a tight end.
It looks like if you, like, put a crossword puzzle in front of Gronk, that's his skills. That's his athletic skills at tight end. He's got all the skills, but he has no idea what to do with them. So,
I don't mean to
make fun of Gronk, so –
What you don't want any defensive help. What you want is a project tight end, a position that the Vikings only have 7 guys in front of him at.
Now you made me sad, Josh. I was actually going to compliment Rick on, you know, still going to type, even though his job is clearly on the line. Because if that trade down doesn't work, I cannot even remember the name of the guy they drafted. Let's say Callaway. Callaway.
Sure.
Yeah. If he's not there, and it would have been bleak. It would not have been a fun night for Rick Spielman. So, as is, he traded down, got the guy he wanted to get at 14, was able to get a guard, was able to get that lottery ticket at quarterback, and then a whole bunch of other guys who I don't know anything about. So, go Vikings.
Honestly, at this point, I'm almost annoyed by NFL draft coverage. Like, when I was a kid, and this was now 150 years ago, but when I was a kid, the NFL draft was like an interesting sidelight a little bit. Like, it's draft week. We should talk about the draft. And now, the moment the Super Bowl ends, they start talking about the draft, and it doesn't let up on any ESPN-known network between the middle of February and whenever the draft happens to be. And I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, they like had to take a rib out of Mel Kiper to make Todd McShay, just so they had more draft guys. It's just weird. But this goes to actually the thing I wanted to talk about with the NFL, which was our friends in Wisconsin. Their whole world burning.
Yes.
And it is possibly even absent the Wild, I cannot think of a greater sports story in Minnesota at this moment.
It's utterly delightful.
Watching the end of the Green Bay, I honestly did not know if I was going to live to see the end of the Green Bay Empire because, you know, COVID, you just never know. Meteors, Russian spacecraft falling from the sky. But it's going to happen. He clearly does not want to be there. He has trying desperately to get somewhere where he can record his game shows and then quarterback in his spare time. And it's wonderful. It is so good to see it happen. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled with the pettiness he's displaying. I am absolutely gratified that Green Bay appears to not give a shit.
I know. After all of this came out, Green Bay drafted like 14 guards or something like that.
Yeah.
No skill position players whatsoever.
Nope. I mean, and why would you? I mean, clearly they were fine last year. So they had, you know, they had Devontae Adams and...
And they had...
I think they would have Brian Bulaga go out on tackle eligible plays. I think that was their second receiver. So... And it's so great. I'm thrilled by it.
I know. It was delightful. He's just and A-Rod, he's just such a messy guy. You know what I mean?
Yes. He's just such a dick. And I mean probably one of the top three quarterbacks we've ever watched.
Right.
I mean, at least in my adult life, he's clearly one of the very best. But he's just kind of a peevish, snarky dick. And again, the Sportive Podcast approves of all those qualities, especially when it causes great suffering to Green Bay Packer fans. And I'm thrilled. I'm elated.
It's like, what if a discredited mega church pastor was also an amazing quarterback? You know what I mean? To get to that level of confusing drama, you just need all of it wrapped into the same package.
Oh, God, it's just, you could say that with Rodgers probably being gone and Matthew Stafford definitely being gone, that was the best thing that Mike Zimmer's defense accomplished in the offseason.
Right.
I mean the shitty part, obviously, is the Bears actually doing something right for once in their life. By trading up to get a good quarterback prospect.
Amazingly, Justin Fields might right now today be the best quarterback in the division.
You're not wrong. I mean, if he pans out, I mean, he has definitely... We'd like to say he has all the tools, John.
Mm-hmm. Even if he doesn't pan out, he still has a chance of being the top quarterback in the division.
Also very true. Yeah, he could have a couple of good games and that'll solve it. But who is the Lions quarterback? Oh, that's right, it's Jared Goff. Oh, he sucks.
Yeah.
Oof, that's brutal. And Green Bay's would be Jordan Love, and we have no idea because I will go out and say I don't think Green Bay's luck is going to continue on the starting quarterback front.
It would be it would be kind of a shame if it did.
Yeah, I could not imagine that happening. If he was ready, my guess is Green Bay would be doing whatever Aaron Rodgers wants them to do. I mean, they just don't. None of this makes sense.
None of it makes sense.
It's great, but none of it makes sense. They're just... I mean, if he was ready, well, then they would not be saying Aaron Rodgers is our starting quarterback. They would have gotten an incredible haul of draft picks. I mean, that's the best quarterback in the league. You could get just a ransom for Aaron Rodgers, and they did not do that. He's our quarterback.
The only thing that would truly finish off the whole Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay saga the way that the rest of the saga has gone, the only thing that would fit in with the rest of it is if somehow now they trade him for a fifth rounder next year or something like that. Just a baffling bit of incompetence that cannot possibly be explained by mortal men. That's what it would take to end this era.
It's so close to happening.
It's all happening to our friends in Wisconsin.
It is all happening.
When every NFC North team finishes 4-13 next year.
Yeah. That's going to be just perfect. I'm so perfect. Happy. Let's see. So that's football.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Minnesota Timberwolves are still pretty bad, but Anthony Edwards is pretty good.
This is a thought I had, and I was hoping Brandon would be able to be here tonight, but of course he wasn't.
Well, no, we don't, because we're already 45 minutes into the show, and he would, the next 45 minutes would be about, like, Jared Vanderbilt. Nobody gives a shit, Brandon. Nobody.
Here's the interesting thing.
No, you don't.
The interesting thing to me about the Timberwolves is they, much of this year, ever since it became very clear early on, that the Timberwolves were going to have another one of those seasons that they've had so often over the past half century. All of the talk is centered on whether they would keep their pick, whether they would be in the top three and not have to give their pick to Golden State. Now, I think it's still possible for them to maybe finish as high as the fifth worst record in the league. They still could finish at the bottom, I think. I'm not exactly sure where that stands, but it doesn't change their chances at all. I think it might drop their chances from 40% to keep their pick down to about 30% to keep their pick, which is not a huge difference. But ultimately, when they're looking at potentially having a top three pick or not at all, in the top three picks, and especially in this draft, which is supposed to be a pretty good one, in the top three picks, they'd be expecting to get another potential star player. And you look at the roster they have right now, they got Towns and they've got D'Lo and they've got Anthony Edwards, all of whom in one way or another are sort of looking for that star kind of thing. It's a little bit hard to see where another top player would fit in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get not wanting to lose the pick, but, you know, they're eventually going to lose it this year or next year. I don't know. I can't say that there's a player that's sitting out there that I watched in the – I mean, everyone wants Jalen Suggs to come home, obviously. But I don't know that that's going to happen, for one, and for two, if that's really what the team needs.
Right. Like – I can't even quite say what the Timberwolves need right now, except better players, I guess.
Better players and just for continued improvement from Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns to recover from whatever curse Jimmy Butler put on him.
Right.
And for Russell to pan out instead of being just this very streaky ball player.
And I recognize part of this is me because somehow I've individually fallen in love with every player on the Timberwolves roster. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I love them all very much, and I want them all to succeed so badly that I'm the one sitting here going, well, I don't know what the Wolves would do with another big next to Towns and Naz Reid, the two best big men in the game today. And so obviously I'm too far gone to actually understand what the Wolves are going to do. I just think down the stretch in the fourth quarter, you've got Towns as an option, you've got Russell as an option, you've got Anthony Edwards as an option. All three of those guys want the ball and think of themselves as the kind of guy who needs the ball in those situations. And I'm not saying there's not enough basketballs to go around, but it's just I don't think the Wolves have had all of those options at the same time before, and it's strange that they're still this bad. I guess that ultimately is what's going on.
Yeah.
They've got all these players I like, all of these players who are, at least in isolation, pretty good, and yet they're still pretty bad.
I'm just happy Brandon's not here, is what I'm thinking.
Right. Now we get to do 3 minutes on the Timberwolves instead of 30.
Which is the exact right amount of Timberwolves talk on a sports podcast based in Minnesota. And
you know,
that's
there are Timberwolves podcasts out there. There are Timberwolves dedicated podcasts out there, and I just feel bad for those folks.
Yeah.
They work hard, they try to do it, and they gotta do a podcast about the Timberwolves. God bless you.
Yeah.
You guys
God
are doing the Lord's work.
Oh yeah, it's gotta be a struggle, and I appreciate you and I appreciate what you do. It can't be easy. So and that leads us to the final sport of the night. And boy, John, your loons.
Oh, my goodness, Stu.
It's not great. I can't even imagine. I thought the whole Fire Heat thing was going to abate after last year's playoff run, but boy, John, it has not.
Well, I mean, ultimately, one of the things that I said after the playoff run last year ended so abruptly, one of the particularly painful things about a playoff run like that is it's not like the Loons were built to be a dynasty. You know what I mean? They didn't have a lot of young guys who were just learning how to win or anything like that. It was just it felt like they were catching lightning in a bottle a little bit, and you don't know how often those things come around. Leading up to the year, all of the smart guys you read, everybody was pretty high on the Loons. Everybody thought they were a contender in the at least in the Western Conference, and if not in the whole league. And So to have them come out and faceplant so dramatically has just been a confirmation of everything that I feared as Seattle was making the all time comeback at the end of the Western Conference Final last year. Like, these things don't come around all the time. They
sure don't.
They lost the U.S. Open Cup final in 2019. They lost in the semifinals of the MLS's back tournament last year. They lost in, effectively, the league semifinals at the end of last year. And in isolation, of course, there's a winner and a loser in every one of those games. And sometimes you're the loser, and that's fine. But just even having experienced the first two MLS years for Minnesota when they were just truly awful and truly struggling the whole time. You look at the last couple of years and it's starting to feel after just, and I realize it's just after three games, but it's starting to feel a little bit like all of those chances got missed. And the U.S. Open Cup final in 2019, it turned out to not only would have given them a spot in the Champions League last year, but also in the Champions League this year, and possibly, if there's no U.S. Open Cup this summer, which there might not be, possibly another one next year, which is just a missed opportunity that it could have been something really fun and could have been something really exciting for Minnesota fans, and instead what happened was nothing. And so this year, they played pretty well in the first half against Seattle in their first game. That I thought they controlled the game in that first half and had the better chances. And so it's all pretty much been downhill since that. They got absolutely stomped in the second half against Seattle. And since then, it's just been struggle upon struggle and terrible thing upon terrible thing. They got beat at home by Real Salt Lake, which was just painful. Mm-hmm. And they got danced on by a 20-year-old goalkeeper at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It was strange because he kicked the ball into the stands, and a couple of guys got mad at him, like, you know, one of those just catty soccer fights that happen sometimes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at the end of – so the next week, Real Salt Lake won, and they started their new team tradition, which is having the goalkeeper kick the ball into the stands after they win, which just sucks. It just sucks to get – just to get danced on like that.
Yeah, you're going to have that.
And then last week they were playing Austin, an expansion team at home, and they got beat up on. It was bad. It was real bad.
Yeah, I feel just bad all the way around because, I mean, there was so much excitement because you're going to be able to all your Dark Clouds and your Looney Tunes and your Space Jams. We're all just super excited about being able to go back to Allianz to watch the games and be able to go to the soccer bars and watch the games. And they are just not good right now. Yeah. There's just there's no positivity anywhere. And if I can see that, then obviously you can see that. And then obviously everyone who's got a scarf and a TIFO and a complicated series of facial hair decisions can understand it as well.
You know, we were talking about this with the Twins, but I think tickets, like StubHub tickets for the Loons home games were ridiculous. I think they were in three figures or whatever.
They were.
I got to tell you, that is not going to last too much longer when there are more tickets available and the team has scored one goal in three games. I got to imagine that tickets will be available for Allianz Field as well.
Yeah, it sucks. That's the whole thing. Is like this summer is like going to be a big, like, you know, people like finally acclimating to being around other people again and enjoying the things they want to enjoy. And you had real optimism that the two outdoor major sports in this town were going to be a real fun thing to watch this summer. And they have not started in that way at all.
I've got a solution for us. Stu. You ready to hear my solution?
I'm ready.
Part one, we're going to be Saints fans. Because it's AAA, and it doesn't really matter. But it, like I say, I love minor league baseball. I love the Saints. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. We're Saints guys. Part two, we could get all in on the Minnesota Lynx this summer.
That's true.
They got the last two rookies of the year, Nafisa Collier and Crystal Dangerfield. They've got Sylvia Fowles is not hurt, I'm told, this year, whereas she was last year. They traded for one of the best names in professional sports today, Ariel Powers, which is great name for a
basketball
player.
Incredible name. 10 out of 10.
She's an impressive basketball player, too, don't get me wrong, but I'm mostly excited about the name because Ariel Powers is a great name for a basketball player.
Yes.
They've got some depth. They've got some exciting new signings. They are always good. They have the best coach in town by far.
Yep, by far.
I think this is the summer to get all in on the Lynx. I say this knowing in my heart that by saying this, that by doing this, that by making Lynx games appointment viewing for me and you and anyone else who's willing to follow us, that they will lose every game they play this summer. This is the one successful pro sports franchise we have in this town.
It feels
incandescently successful, indescribably successful, successful on an annual basis, something that we all could be proud of, and I feel like if I look directly at it, it will stop.
They are so consistently good, you have to wonder if Mark Coyle wanted to fold them.
Oh my gosh, that is too on the nose to be.
Sorry.
Two on the nose for me to be laughing as much as I am right now.
I'm going to feed that line to Ricey, I think. I'm pretty happy with that one. A furious and a half to get that joke, ladies and gentlemen. That's where that one came from.
That's good stuff.
Oh, God. And was there anything else like from actual other like sports? I think we're almost an hour in.
The Gopher football team had the spring game.
Oh, how that? Did you go to it?
No, I did not go to it. I wasn't fully vaccinated yet at that point, so I didn't go to it. And the maroon team won, I believe, or possibly the gold team. And an offensive tackle threw a touchdown pass. So,
hey, I'm in favor of that at all times. Any tackle doing non-tackle things, that's a positive for me.
So I'll tell you this story. This goes back a ways, but one of my good friends in graduate school, when I was in graduate school, was a guy who was a University of Florida Bobo, just loved the Gators. And so, you know, he's an SEC fan. He's from the South. He's big into college football. He's big into the spring game. He's excited about the spring game. Big deal in the South. And so we sat down and this was back, I don't know if they actually still have this, the Fox College Sports Pack was on cable television where they had sort of the best things from all of the Fox regional networks. And one of them that was on was the Gopher Spring Game, which was on Fox Sports North and was being shown on the Fox College Sports Pack in Tucson, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And so we sat down and watched this, and he was expecting an SEC spring game where it's very serious and it's all about the football. Football. Run the football.
Yep.
And in this spring game, At one point, the Gophers put in Goldie at tailback and ran a toss sweep, and Goldie scored a touchdown. And I have never been so embarrassed in my whole entire life. Just burning with shame as Goldie Gopher scampered down the sideline while defenders dived out of his way. I've never been just. I'm sorry.
No, I get it. You're right to be ashamed.
So anyway, I don't think Goldie scored any touchdowns in the spring game this year, but I'm not certain of that. Not certain of that at all. let's see. What else can we cover? Gopher basketball has no players left.
Yeah. Score updates. Of course, the Twins bullpen has made the 4-0 game into a 4-3 game top of the seventh. It is in another rain delay, so hopefully they'll just call the game. That'd
leave our families alone.
The Wilder
tied in the third period.
Looks like it's 2-2 in the third period. We'll see how that goes. I have not checked the Timberwolves score.
They're down double digits.
That's just a good guess.
By the time anyone listens to this, this will be 3 days old.
Yes. I think Wade's got, he might have a Mother's Day thing.
Wade has like 97 children too. He's going to be a baseball or something.
But yeah, he's going to have to drive somewhere far, and he's going to have this in the car tomorrow. So I'm happy for Wade.
Yep.
It's not been easy for him with us taking this much time off. You would hope he would understand, but I don't know that he does.
Wade is like, you know, at the end of Spinal Tap when they're playing at the amusement park and there's like one guy left?
Yes.
That's Wade.
Yep. Yep. And I appreciate that about him.
Yep. We appreciate you, Wade. Anybody else who's on board as well.
Yep.
You got anything else? Have you been to the bar again?
Yeah. I have been to the bar, same Bulldog again, a couple of times. And it's every time. Totally works. It's totally enjoyable. Just can't get enough of throwing $5 into the jukebox and watching a Law & Order Special Victims Unit rerun on mute. It's as good as I remember it. It's so good.
Do they maybe not have cable at the Bulldog? What's going on there?
They do have cable. I watched. I was there last Sunday to watch the Twins lose another game. So
it's. I know that not every bar is a sports bar, and so I shouldn't expect that they're going to be playing some NBA game from somewhere or something every time you go in, but. Surely a hockey game on mute is better than Law & Order Special Victims Unit on mute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's much, much, much better than that.
All right, so it's spring training for the bars as well. Although, you know, with the restrictions are getting lifted and the vaccine numbers are creeping up a little bit, it does sort of feel like everybody's sort of stretching and flexing the shoulders and ready for the summer to end all summers here.
Correct. Yeah, it's getting closer. You can tell just by the amount of things that are just happening in downtown. Allery's finally took like the big poster they had in their front window down that said they were open from 4 to 8 7 days a week, and they've been closed since Christmas.
Right.
but they appear to be trying to reopen, and a couple other places are. I know the Amsterdam's reopening, Meritage is open again. So it's, at least in my neighborhood, things are coming to life a little more, which is nice.
It's weird. So I went and helped a friend move last night, and we had to take a freeway to get there, and it was about dinner time, and we got stuck in traffic on the way. I haven't been stuck in traffic for a year.
Yep, I was in traffic today. I had to go from Surly to my wife's work, and there was an accident between Snelling and Lexington, and it was backed up for 10 minutes.
Boy.
I was like, this is like, and it's also Friday at 5 o'clock. So, yeah, that all of this makes sense.
How has it been actually going to the office?
It's weird. I'm not going to lie to you. It's weird.
Is everyone back in the office, or is it just if you happen to want to go back to the office, you can?
It's the latter. It's like, you know, I'm completely, you know, double vaxxed and 2 weeks out, so I'm comfortable going into the office, but some people aren't, and they're obviously staying, you know, doing what they need to do because they don't want to get sick or get anyone else sick.
Right.
So it's an adjustment, but boy, I don't miss Zoom calls at all, John.
Oh, You aren't. Just, yeah. You aren't kidding.
Just the awkward silence and forced laughter. It's just. And enough about my sex life, though. Sorry, that was a joke. That was a joke.
Boy, that was a throwback from an earlier age. Yeah. I gotta tell you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a
1987 stand-up comedy joke right there.
Yeah. Exactly. Tip your waitress, everybody. But yeah, it's taken some adjustment, but I'm definitely, and I prefer it just to get. I mean, again, living in an apartment, I love it, but if you're there, you know, constantly. You feel like the walls are closing in.
Right.
And the dog is on top of you at all times because she thinks you're there to hang out with her instead of, like, do your job. So that's, it is for sure.
Dogs and small children are very alike in that regard.
Yes.
Every time I leave my office, the kids are like, oh, dad's here. I don't know where he's been all day, but it's playtime now.
It's Frozen 2 time.
Oh.
Dad, you're Olaf. But yeah, it's.
I got to tell you, we watched tonight, I'm going to butcher the name of this movie because I didn't actually know what the name of this movie was. So maybe if you've seen it, you have small children, so you can help me out here. I think it was called Everybody's Hero. It was about 10 or 15 years old. It was an animated movie set in the early 1930s. And the point of it was that a kid who lived in New York was trying to return Babe Ruth's special bat to him for the World Series, which was in Chicago.
I wouldn't watch that movie. That just sounds
horrible. It was extremely strange. Not least because Babe Ruth was like a soul with a warm heart in this movie, which, boy, none of this is true. There was a weird...
Nope.
There was a weird part in the middle where the Negro Leagues were involved. It's very strange. At the end, a 10-year-old kid ends up hitting in the World Series, which not even in a Rookie of the Year since, just in the strange. It was a baseball movie, and I think it was chosen because it was like, oh, we got to get the kids to watch something to do with sports because their disappointment whenever their sports on TV is starting to get to me. I'm not going to lie, Stu. It's starting to get to me a little bit. The other day, so a friend of mine was finally fully vaxxed, and I'm fully vaxxed, and so a friend of mine came over to watch the Twins the other night, which in itself is a terrible decision because they lost to the Rangers and we were miserable. But that morning, I was explaining to my daughter what was going to happen that day, and I was telling her that my friend is going to come over, and so they could do whatever, and then I was going to put him to bed. And I said, but before you go to bed tonight, you can watch baseball with us. And in the most disappointed voice ever, my daughter said, oh, man. And I thought, I failed. I have failed. I hope, you know, my son is almost two, and I've got to start just making him sit there and watch baseball with me because I'm going to be the old man watching his stories as my kids go off and have happy lives unencumbered by the sadness of the Twins bullpen.
You're just still upset that Ed Bradley isn't on 60 Minutes anymore, and you don't care it's because he's dead.
Where's Andy Rooney? That guy's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on today in this country.
He's going to yell about rotary telephones. It's going to be great. You'll see. You'll see.
Come back here. Anyway.
Criminy.
So I think the point was to hopefully make the kids slightly interested. So we'll see if that works. If my daughter wakes up tomorrow and wants to play catch, it'll all be worth it. But, man, that was a strange movie. That had a lot of exceptional voice talent in it. Brian Dennehy was in it. William H. Macy was in it. I think Robin Williams was in it.
Oh, these are – oh. And you said Everybody's Heroes?
Hero, I think, was the name.
Everybody's Hero. Okay.
I could look it up, but I'm going to have to Google something like animated movie with kid for the Yankees or something like that.
And a 10-year-old.
There was a talking baseball and a talking baseball bat.
Yeah, you're going to have that.
It was something else. I don't think this movie did well because today was the first I'd ever heard of it. So.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm ever hearing of it.
Right.
So I'm happy for you, though.
There's a whole... I'm discovering that there is a whole seedy underbelly of children's shows that is available everywhere. If you if you're an adult person, you don't know about these things because you don't see them on Netflix. You don't see them You don't scroll all the way down on Netflix and get to the kids stuff. You don't scroll all the way down on Disney Plus to get to whatever. But there is some real garbage out there aimed at children.
Oh, yeah. It's truly terrible.
And back when we were kids, there were only three television stations or whatever. So the amount of garbage that could be successfully aimed at children was fairly low. If you were home from school all day, there was only about an hour, maybe two, where you got the truly garbage children's television, and then everything switched over to Ricky Lake yelling at who was the father of the dads or whatever. Who was the father of the dads? That doesn't make any sense. Who was the father of the baby? You know, daytime talk show nonsense. But now, with the streaming services, any stupid idea can get animated and put on these things and fed to impressionable children forever. And having to wade through some of this garbage and ban some of this garbage is really... It's just very off-putting to see. And my children, of course, have no critical faculty whatsoever. So they're like, yeah, that cat fell over. I like it. I like this part, Dad. That cat falls over.
Yeah. Oh, it is pouring rain in Detroit, John. They might just call this game and get the Twins away.
Are the Twins winning?
Yeah, they're up 4-3, top 7.
Oh, my gosh. The Twins need to play more five-inning games. Five-inning games are what's going to save the Twins.
Yeah, they got a shot here, John. Pretty enthused. Yeah, I can't think of anything worth discussing at this point, John.
I've been complaining about children's television for 10 minutes.
No, it's fine. I've got nothing new to. I guess I'm tapped out. It's Friday night.
Right.
Everyone else is out, you know, enjoying their vaccinated, immune system, you know, happy time. I'm just here in the party room watching. Glenn Perkins. I know him. It's him, and it looks like it's Audra Martin. Did you know that Chris Sabo's kid?
Yes.
Is one of the
absolutely.
I was blown away by that. I had no idea.
She's good too.
Like, yeah, she's not bad at all. And it's like, is that the Sabos? And it's like, yep, that's Chris Sabo's kid
of the Cincinnati Sabos.
Yeah, and she did exactly, and she does not wear sport goggles, which is
she
like
should though.
She really should. It would be a great bit for us to do a show without any explanation. No one talks about it, but she does the whole studio show with sport goggles
right.
on.
Absolutely. I fully support this.
Yes, I will see if I have any contacts there. I'll see if they can make her do that.
Do you have a lot of high-level contacts at Bally Sports North?
John, I do not.
Honestly, I would believe it. Every time there's a big game in Minnesota, Stu's like, yeah – actually, I'm flipping the coin, and I'm sitting in the owner's box today. Oh.
No, that's not how it works.
Interesting.
You know that. No. I'm just a humble country bumpkin.
I'm just an unfrozen caveman lawyer.
Who's fallen into this big city lifestyle. So yeah,
city lifestyle with the trains
of
and the apartments.
Paul. Yeah.
And the bars.
Yeah. I got nothing else. Boy, I thought I had something there on the tip of my tongue, but I just... Oh, yeah, Bally Sports North.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Bally comes from, John?
Pinball machines?
Correct. Very good. The Ballyhoo pinball machine from, like, 1950. And the whole Bally empire sprang from that one pinball machine because in the 1950s, all America had to do was be afraid of nuclear war and play pinball. That was it.
This actually brings up another question for you. This is the overtime segment of the podcast. If we were Gleeman and the Geek, this would be the part where we go to the other studio and talk about whatever.
KFan is not going to air this shit.
Yeah, feel free to shut this off.
You go put this on the podcast.
What I'm saying is, listeners, feel free to shut this off because I have a question. This has nothing to do with anything, but here's my question. So when I was a kid, I was somewhat shocked to discover that my dad turned out to be an amazing pinball player. And the reason is because when he was in college and stuff, he would go study for a couple hours and his reward to himself was that he would put a quarter in the pinball machine and play pinball at the student union or whatever. So I would sit there in awe. Like we would go to, you know, some disused arcades at a bar in Brainerd or whatever. And it would be like, all right, I would play pinball and, you know, I'm a kid. So me playing pinball lasts for maybe 12 seconds, 13 seconds. That's the kind of entertainment we're looking at here. So it would be my turn, then it would be my brother's turn, then it would be my dad's turn. And he would play for like a half hour. And it was utterly bewildering because seemed to know magic. To me, as far as I was concerned, he knew magic to get the pinball machine to go that long. And my question is, will I have a dad talent like this that I can amaze my children with? Or did I come in too late for that and all of my talents will no longer be applicable? I'm trying to think of what an equivalent would be.
The only thing that I do that my kids are legitimately, and again, they're 22 and 17, that they are legitimately impressed by is the fact that there's people I know who are on TV or the radio, which I don't think, they're just my friends, but, and I guess, honestly, if I had been their age and, like, Howie knew, like, Dave Moore,
right,
that would have blown my fucking mind. So, yeah, I guess I get the fact that I'm friends with Mac Wilson from The Current makes Piper just, like, slack-jawed. It's like, how do you know him? It's like, well, we, like, would tell dumb jokes to each other on a social media platform. It's just, yeah, that is the one dad thing that I have, I think, is that I know people who are locally famous.
Right.
That's
And you know, yourself are locally famous.
Well, I would dispute that. I would say that I'm locally known by a weird
locally
subsection
notable.
Of dads. Locally notable to a subsection of dads.
Well, so we're here doing a dad podcast for all the dads.
Yep, for all the dads out
Minneapolis,
there.
St. So. Paul, and all the dads at sea.
Yeah, Oakdale, Blaine, Arden Hills. This is for you, buddies.
yes. All right. So
okay.
I feel like I've got I got maybe 6 or 7 years to develop a dad talent like that. So
yeah,
so I don't know what it's going to be.
Just keep pumping out the content for the Strib. And just, yeah, I think maybe you can maybe get like some regard from them. I think, yeah, I think you got a shot.
I think the only thing I got, the only possibility I can think of is I can tell them, yeah, I was on a podcast with Stu. I know Stu.
I think you can tell them that you know Ken Cha. And I think that's,
knowing Ken Cha is in some circles is,
oh, he's the guy with all the hats. He has hats.
He's the guy that swears so loudly at the Wisconsin Badgers, you can hear him outside the Star Tribune building.
I still never met Ken, but he's like one of my favorite Twitter follows.
He's good people.
Facebook.
Ken
just,
is
yeah,
good
just,
people.
He appears to be an actual Ken, if you're listening, I like you.
Yeah. Everybody
you're
loves
a good
Ken.
Person. Yeah. So Mike says nice things. John says nice things.
I got nothing else. I told everyone to stop listening 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's probably
I got
a good
nothing
sign.
Else either.
Did the Twins game get canceled yet? Please tell me
they are. It has not been canceled that I can tell from here.
Would they just continue it tomorrow? They got another game tomorrow. They'd probably just keep playing it.
Yeah,
right?
They could probably. Yeah, they could just like do the final three innings because it is pouring rain. It is. Yeah, it's. They should. They should just finish the final three innings tomorrow. Just call it because I mean if it doesn't let up, then it's going to be like, you know, they finish it at like 1 a.m, then everyone's grouchy. And by everyone, I mean me, because I will find out in the morning after a fitful night of sleep that the bullpen blew another game. So, okay. Hour and 15 minutes, John. Nice work. We did great work here tonight. So, thank you to everybody.
Yes.
For
we will
listening.
See you in
we're
June.
Sorry. We will do one before then, but it may just be me, and maybe there will be a podcast by all of our wives.
Yeah, I was going to say we're working on the contracts, we're working on the deals, but at some point our wives may record a podcast episode, and to say that we're all terrified would be underselling it.
To say that I will just walk into a haunted forest rather than hear my wife talk about me is, for people to hear, yes, that is the thing that will happen.
I don't know what would be worse, if she was critical of you or if she was kind about you.
Yeah, either way, there's no way it ends well, and I just need, I'm apprehensive at best.
Well, I
scared.
Mean,
both scared to death at worst.
Both of our wives have been on the podcast before, so really, it's the
and
other wives
and,
that
and,
we're
and,
really
and
able to work with.
And the, of course, as we will both say, they are both much more interesting people than we are.
They're delightful. Both of our wives are delightful.
And then all four of us married up. We married above our station, and that is not just us trying to get in good with the wives.
No, it's true.
We all genuinely mean it. We all married very well.
And I think long-time podcast listeners will know that.
Yes.
No matter, without even knowing our wives, they'll know. Well,
yeah, they'll say, although they got married. They got married, and we've listened to these guys for 10 years. Their wives are incredible,
yes.
Strong American women.
Right.
And speaking of strong American women, we do miss you, Chicken Fingers, and we hope that you will be on the program soon.
I hope his kids team won.
I really do too.
Brandon, that goes for you too.
He was really getting screwed by the catcher, it sounded like.
Yeah.
The catcher was like framing pitches, and it was not great. He was not happy.
His pitch framing stuff is, it's BS.
Yeah. Some 13-year-old from Little Chicago was really getting on Chicken's nerves. So, anyway.
Yep.
Okay, should we call it, Chen?
Let's call it.
Alrighty. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And
you're
I promise we will do a show again in the near future, maybe.
Maybe.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.